to We Have Thoughts, a podcast about movies. I'm Anna.
I'm Crystal.
And I'm Joy.
And we are back with our Oscar Rewind series, where we are making our way back through Oscar history and talking about all the Best Picture nominees. We're looking back at the 2011 nominees, and today we're looking at 127 Hours. A mountain climber becomes trapped under a boulder while canyoneering alone near Moab, Utah, and resorts to desperate measures in order to survive. 127 Hours was nominated for 6 Oscars, including Best Pictures. It was Best Picture. It was nominated for Best Performance by a Leading Actor, by an Actor in a Leading Role for James Franco, Adapted Screenplay for Danny Boyle and Simon Beaufoy, Achievement in Film Editing, John Harris, Original Score, A.R. Rahman, Original Song, If I Rise, Music by A.R. Rahman, Lyrics by Dido and Rollo Armstrong. This is 127 Hours. Okay, friends, what did we think?
First off, had we seen this before?
Yes.
No.
Yes. Oh. Because this was when I was, I think I said this last batch of films, that I was really getting into watching all the nominees. A lot of these I'd seen way after the fact, but not during the season. But I remember like renting this movie. And I thought it was actually really good.
I did too.
Yeah.
Really? Huh.
I'm not a James Franco fan. My sister was obsessed with James Franco. And yeah. I remember everyone being like, he's the most sexiest man because he has like a, there was like an analysis of, someone did an analysis of what is the most attractive face. And it came up with James Franco, and it's because like his symmetrical or whatever. I was like, I don't think he's that attractive. And then he turned out to be kind of a creep. And there's just a lot of James Franco shit that I'm not into. But I thought he did pretty good in this role.
I agree. Like, actually, if James Franco, I even though he's kind of a creep, I'll just say Dave Franco is probably my cousin, because my dad's mom's maiden name is Franco, actually.
Oh.
So,
related.
I don't know that he has any Mexican descent in him at all. I haven't ever looked that up. But, yeah.
Now.
Interesting.
Google, yeah. I actually think he did a really good job. It's not the script itself is not, I feel like in worser hands, this could have been way over the top in its grotesque nature. It could have been over the top in just literally everything. But Danny Boyle did a really good job, the director, of making a script that made it seem, you know, straightforward, but also like not convoluted. And because it's such a simple story, but it's such a great simple story, because it takes a lot for a movie to just have one single setting and one single actor. You know, you have to be the right type of actor and the right type of director to get that done. And I think James Franco, for all that he is, did a really good job. He did what was asked of him, and I think he did great.
I had a thought while I was watching this movie, and it was, if this had been written and filmed today, I feel like the role would have been played by Timmy.
Oh my God, shut up.
Am I wrong?
Probably not, but I think, like, I love Timmy. Like, we all love Timmy in this house. But I feel like he's, like, a little too much everywhere. Like, I feel like he's too much of the go-to, oh, sure. Like, I want to say young pup. Like, young male ingenue. Which is not bad, because he's really good, but I feel like, okay, I think the fact that he's not in any like major franchises other than Dune, I guess, is good for him. It makes him have like an air of prestige. But yeah, you're totally right. He would have been offered the role immediately.
Like, I don't know how he would have done with this, though.
I think it would have been fine. Like, the whole comedic nature of, like, the talking back and forth when he's, like, interviewing himself would have been really funny. That boy can cry.
Oh, yeah.
You know how emotional he can be. I don't think that physically he has the physique for it.
Yeah.
Because, again, we loved him.
He's a little scrawny.
Yeah, he's, like, a little smaller in stature. Whereas James Franco, I could tell that, like, he was an athletic guy who did these certain things. So, I don't know who else would be Full Spade today, but yeah, you're right. Timmy would have been offered it immediately.
Also, quick side note. Franco's father is Portuguese and Swedish descent, and his mother is Jewish, of Russian Jewish descent. So
Okay.
Okay.
Well, so no. But then again, this was Mexico, and it's not like they do a lot of DNA testing. A lot of things happen, so who knows? But I just know that that name is in my family.
Wild.
Franco.
Joy, what did you think?
I'm really happy that it didn't feel like 127 hours because when I checked the runtime, I was like, oh, that was really fast. I was afraid it was going to be another one of those, I'm just stuck here miserable and suffering with him the whole time. But I did enjoy the editing, and I think like the editing is what gave it away for it being a Danny Boyle film. I was like, oh my God, Slumdog Millionaire. I see it right there. It was very similar in his style. Stylistically, it stayed true to his directing style and stuff. I don't think it's like, I think that I'm thinking ahead, but like comparatively to the other things that are nominated this year, it's okay. It's all right. You know, it's good. It's not great. It's not amazing, but it's good. It's like a standard like B movie. Like it's good. It's not great. It's not horrible. But it like gets the job done, and I'm glad it can be concise and tight. And like all the technical things are there, so yeah.
It gives vibes of like it would replay on like TNT and TBS, like
TNT.
It's like, you know, when you just like back in the day when we just had like cable, you turn on like, oh, it's a movie. Yeah, I'll watch this. It was pretty good, or whatever. Or like, oh my God, I just caught like a scene of his arm getting cut off. That was crazy, and it just feels like that kind of type of movie that's like it could easily be edited for TV but also still be just as engrossing and engaging. So
yeah,
you're right, it was kind of simple, and but I think for what it was trying to do, I think it did a good job, and we always appreciate movies who know how to use their time wisely.
For sure.
Hips are tight, we love those
for sure. He had a vision, he knew what he wanted to do, he executed it and ticked all the boxes. I mean, it's a solid film. What was I gonna say? I like that you got to see like his before getting stuck, and it was just like, oh, this is very routine for him. He does it all the time, and like it was a nice contrast to that when he did get stuck between the rock. I was like, oh, wait, it was kind of like an emotional shift. Like, you were all, like, light and happy and whatever, and then it just happens and things start turning. It was interesting. I do like the parts where he's, like, getting all delusional and he's like, oh, my God, it's raining. I thought that was interesting. Yeah, it was good.
Note, this was my Letterboxd review, but I also feel it is important to note here. General PSA, and I feel like it's pretty obvious to say, don't eat during that scene. I had warmed up some food before, and I was eating it, and then there was just a little bit left, like half a serving, and I was like, that's not enough to put back in the refrigerator. So I gave myself like 15 minutes, and then I went and warmed it up. And I sat back down, and then the scene starts, and there I am with a bowl of red spaghetti.
Oh, no.
And I was like, we're done with this. And I don't think I have those kind of reactions much, but that really put me off.
Yeah, when I, and again, I knew, I'd seen this before, so I knew it was going to happen. And I, when he cracks his bone, I literally screamed. I went, like jumped off the couch, like screamed. And then I don't think I watched most of it. Like, I watched it initially in the first viewing, but I was like this. I was like, no.
There went.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, you go.
I knew I was not going to be able to get through that, so I put it on mute and just watched the bottom half of the screen. I had the captions on, so I was like, okay, bones crunching. Okay, blood squirting. All right.
Oh, no.
Scene. And then I uncovered the majority of it once he, like, steps back. I'm like, okay, it happened. We made it. And then I turned it back on.
There also, like, is James Franco's face when it happens, like his step back. And he's just kind of like, oh my God, I did it. It happened. Yeah. Like his, you can like a really good job by him. He's thinking all these things, but he also knows that he has to like wrap it up. And he's like, okay, my next move, I got to get out of here. Like, I just really like those, his facial expressions in that scene.
I do love that he stopped to take a picture.
Yeah.
Because the same.
yeah,
but during that scene when he's breaking his arm and doing the cutting, there was a really great sound effect of like, it sounded like metal or something. And there was like almost like a flash. I don't know if I'm making this up, but I feel like there was like a flash on the screen when it happened too. And I was like, that's exactly how my bone pain feels since breaking my arm. And I'm like, that sound, and I know that makes no sense, but that sound is like what I, when I'm like, my arm hurts, that's what I'm feeling, is that.
Oh my God.
Like metal scraping. And so I was like, ooh, that's real.
That's crazy. Yeah. I did watch, like sometimes GQ has these like experts weigh in on these certain scenes, and a surgeon weighed in on that scene where he's cutting his arm, and he says that like, that's, it's basically what would happen, like that's exactly how, because he's like, the depiction of it is how it would happen in real life, you know, how things would happen. Mm-hmm. And he's smart enough, he's a survivalist, he knows what to do. And like when he's cutting it off and he kind of hit, you hear that sound, he probably hit a nerve. That's what the doctor was saying. He probably hit a nerve because, yeah, like things are not working, and but he's, there's still nerves there, he has to cut through it and all that stuff. I also really like it's before he cuts it off, way before. When he, I think he initially stabs it, and there's a shot of like kind of like an X-ray, like silhouette of it. And you see like it go through and it like hits. I'm like, oh, yeah, that was so effective.
Oh. Yeah. Visually, I think this movie did a really great job of those visuals. Also, like when he's having to start drinking his urine and you see the yellow coming up.
Yes. Like,
you're feeling that anticipation with him, like, oh, he's about to, and then he has to drink it, which, I don't know, I've been kind of rewatching House, or watching it for the first time, mostly, and I remember this episode from when I was younger, and my parents watching it. There's an episode with Mira Sorvino, and she's stuck in, like, the Arctic, and she's having all these symptoms, and so she, like, Skypes in with House to figure out what's going on, and they run all these tests and they finally figure it out because the guy who was with her had to taste her urine, and he was like, it tastes really bitter, and they were like, that means it's not this or it's that, and it's because she had a broken toe, but because she's always so cold and keeps her toes wrapped, she never looked at it, she never takes her socks off. So her broken toe went undiagnosed, and it was releasing bone marrow into her body, and that's what was making her sick.
What?
So I'm watching this, and I'm like, I don't know how long it needs to be, but I'm wondering if, like, if that's why his urine, because whenever he's like, it smells bad, and then he drinks it later, which your urine's not going to taste good no matter what. Like, it's urine.
Yeah. I love that he's like, it's no Slurpee.
But I'm wondering if, because his arm, he probably broke his arm somewhere in his, around his wrist area, if he's also releasing bone marrow, which is also helping, like,
Yeah.
I literally had just watched that episode like a day before I watched this.
That's very interesting. Probably. You're not wrong.
Doctors, weigh in.
Do we know any doctors? Any doctors listening out there?
I know a nurse. Does that count?
I don't she's know.
She's a registered RN. I know her. Yeah. I mean, survival wise, like the strength it must take to resist not to drink all the water all at once. Oh man, like that's hard.
Discipline. The discipline in that.
It's yeah. Just... Oh man. And I love that you can see him like want to do it so bad. He's like, no.
I know.
You know, like
that first night where he's waiting for midnight and he's just watching it.
Yeah. Oh man.
And as soon as it turns midnight, he's like, I can have a little bit. Yeah, that's insane. But also his knowledge of, he was like, if my buddy realizes that I'm not, you know, right as he gets in, they're going to put the 24-hour hold. And if I'm lucky, they're not going to start looking for me until Wednesday afternoon. Which, cops, let's talk about that 24-hour hold, that 48-hour hold.
Is that still a thing?
Bullshit. Sometimes. I think it's, like, discretionary. Okay. Because I listen to Crime Junkie pretty regularly. And sometimes with the older cases, it's a lot of, yeah, we have to wait 24 hours, 48 hours if they're an adult. Because they could have just run away or, you know, up and walked away. But the newer, like, more recent cases, sometimes that's ignored. Depending on circumstances.
I couldn't help but think of our trip and how...
Oh,
same.
How we almost died on a mountain? How this could have been us?
I was like, man, I thought we had a bad... This movie... I fold, okay? Aaron, Ralston, you win.
I felt... I related to him a lot where they're like, do you want to stop and rest? He goes, no, keep going. And I was like, yeah, that was me. I was like, if I stop, I'm not getting back.
Yeah, I was like, ooh, I feel that, buddy. You right. Or seeing the people walk by and they, like, are blurring. He's like, yeah, oh, I felt that too.
I can't believe we thought we could just climb a mountain, no big deal, first time, no problem. The confidence in us.
Like, I know, right?
We can do this. No worries. Just climbing a mountain. With one water bottle and, like, one granola bar.
At least we had each other. Why did this fool go by himself and didn't tell anybody?
No. Why would you not?
What kind of white nonsense is this? No, that's dangerous. Oh my god.
Did you say
you had to say white nonsense?
No. She did. Because I also had a note regarding that. I heard one time, I think it was like Twitter or something. I saw someone tweet that it was like there was some video of someone doing like what is it? Where you're like being held up by like a crane over a city and you're like having dinner or something like up in the air.
Oh yeah, yeah.
The feet in the air. And someone was like, yeah, what white nonsense is this? And then like seriously, but like not like seriously, white people seek thrills and danger because they usually don't have to face that in everyday life.
Look, I almost made this mistake.
So like that would explain it. Like deep in the psyche, that would explain it. That really just
And then he's a white man.
Yeah, so he has the audacity.
Because
he has a lot of it.
I mean, the idea of I also read some time a tweet that was, or I think it might have been a Letterboxd review that was like, yeah, we'll have to do this kind of stuff, but I'm also a woman and I'm a small woman at that. That's what the review said. They're like, so I can't just go off and not tell anyone or do things by myself because that's dangerous. Or I could be attacked or something or whatever. Like it just at the time when I first watched it, I didn't realize that layer of it. But watching it again, I was like, oh man, the audacity of this man. I guess, I mean, good on him for like knowing what to do, obviously. Because if that was me, dead. I would have been like, all right, well, I live here now. Quite literally, yes. white nonsense is what I meant to say.
I kind of did that.
What? When did you do?
What? Why meant this is this?
I think it was like January. Wife? Might have been New Year's Day or like January 2nd. I think it was 2014. I was like, I had the day off work. And I was like, I've never seen a mountain. I've never seen a mountain in my 20 plus years of life or whatever. So I Googled nearest mountain to me. Literally. And that's how I discovered Arkansas. Because it was like Mount Magazine.
Arkansas?
Mm-hmm. Mount Magazine. And it was where that scenic route we drove on our way through. Yeah. I did that by myself. And I got all the way there. I drove. It was such a beautiful drive. And then I get to the start of the scenic byway. And I see a sign that says falling rocks are common or whatever. And I go, hey, mom and dad, just FYI, I took a little road trip by myself and this is where I'm at. And I also sent that to my aunt because I was like, I didn't tell anybody. I literally was like, I'm going to go today, got in the car and left. Yeah. So I almost made that mistake, but I caught myself.
Oh my gosh. Anastasia.
I mean, even just like, I think like, just as women, like whenever I go anywhere, I'm just like, oh, hey, I'm here. Or I'll send my location or whatever to the closest person nearby. Usually Benjamin, obviously. Just in case, you know, you never know. Gotta be safe. Right. But, yeah.
Sometimes my disease, my white disease shows.
Sometimes you practice it. Yeah, I know. It's okay.
Sometimes I'm a practicing white person. I try, y'all. I try.
My God. All right.
At least you're aware of it. You know, that's yeah. A lot. Aware most people are not.
Yeah.
So the book that this movie is based on, which is the book that he wrote, is called Between a Rock and a Hard Place.
When I saw that, I was like, get the fuck out of here with that.
What else are you going to call it?
Oh, my
God. It's 2003.
That's true.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. 03. Y'all remember 03?
Yeah.
I was in elementary school.
I was in high school.
I was in junior high. We were all in different groups.
He's taking like pictures, whatever, and then it would like show the picture as like a still. I was like, cameras in 2003 were not that good.
I know.
That right. Little handheld digital camera. It ain't taking that quality.
That was like exactly. 6 pixels total. No.
Yeah.
No. Especially not like that small. Like, no way. No way.
I remember having like camera, not like that, but like having like a 5 pixel megapixel camera being like, oh my God, this is so amazing.
Right? Like technology.
What are the pixels on our phones? Do we know?
A lot.
Way more than 4. That's for sure.
Oh my God.
Also, I loved how Danny Boyle dropped the title card as soon as his hand got stuck. I was like, oh, that's baller move. Love that. Love stuck his face in 27 hours. Fantastic.
Yeah, I also love that it was like in the first 20 minutes of the movie. Like it wasn't wasting time.
Exactly. Again, goes back to using your time wisely, tight script, tight movie. Love that. Although, even though I would never do what like these adventure things in like the desert and all that, I thought them like the whole scene of them dropping into the pool was so cool.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I don't think I could physically do it because I would die. My knees would give out. But just the idea of just, like, dropping and then you're in the water. So cool.
I'm too fat. I'd get stuck.
Save me. Or, like, my big head will, like, scrape the wall or something on my way down. There goes my nose.
Get out. There goes my nose. That's true. It was a very tight squeeze. And they were all like this.
Yeah, they were all, like, small-sized people, so. That freaked me the fuck out whenever he first did it. I was like, oh, my God, what is happening? I thought he got stuck. I didn't think he just fell into the thing.
And then he was like, before he's like, I don't know if this was like a character choice or just James Franco was, well, I guess he is kind of creepy. When he was like, oh, sorry, let me take this mask off. So I'm only a serial killer on weekdays and Saturday. And then they kind of just stare at him. He's like, can't take this off. It's my face. Like, he just, and then he's like, bro, let me show you something. You can keep your clothes on, but it's better with your clothes off or whatever. And I was like, ooh. So maybe it was just him being creepy.
He's just a white man.
Well, there it is.
But you know what this movie did do that we often complain about?
Mm.
It did not do. The song was in the movie.
Yes, bitch! I have that in my notes. I said yes.
Me too.
Yes. Love it.
The original song wasn't just saved for credits.
Where, I miss Dido. Where are you at, girl? Right? Dido was so great.
She has such a unique voice.
I know. She's not really a pop girly because, like, pop is a lot different than it was in 2000 and whatever. But, like, man, Dido was so good. Those first two albums. And then she did the theme to my favorite show, Roswell. Get out of here. Love her. I miss you, girl. Roswell,
Mexico?
Roswell, the original one.
Oh.
Also, how did he not pass out? Like, I know we're jumping around, but, like, it's amazing to me how he didn't pass out from, like, sawing that sucker off. That's crazy.
Bitch, I would have knocked the fuck out. I wouldn't even attempt it. I would have just been like, I'll just die of dehydration.
Since, like, when they premiered this at Telluride or something, people, like, had panic attacks and, like, vomited and passed out in the theater during that scene.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm actually, if I think about it, I never saw it on the big screen, but I think if I had to, I would have been like, no, I'm out. Because it was okay for my TV because I could mute it and or close my eyes or whatever. But in a theater, it's big, it's loud, it's in your face.
Yeah.
Yeah, I get it.
I was so shocked that, you know, it's day 5 and he still has the energy to do that.
Right?
Like he's out of water. He's drinking his piss. He's like 24 hours away from kicking the bucket. Really. And he had enough energy to, like, break his arm twice and then cut it off. And then, of course, the adrenaline after that is what kept him going. True. But still.
I think it's, like, because, again, I watched this video about that survivalist, and he's talking about how accurate that scene is. And he's saying, like, I've had situations where I hallucinate things and I see things. And the brain is so powerful. And you could be down the dumps, much like this situation here, but seeing things, thinking of things, hallucinations kind of just motivate you. It's kind of like people all of a sudden get strength to move a car when someone's underneath it. It's kind of a similar situation, even though that's physical. But he's like, yeah, that totally makes sense to see his future son, and that motivates him to get through that because he wants to see that come to fruition. It actually makes me think of the premonition that I had when I saw my brother before he was born. Did I tell you that I saw?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's so wild to me that, like, I saw what my brother looked like at, like, 5-ish years old before my mom even told me she was pregnant. She was like, oh, it's the doctor. I have something to tell you. And I was like, I know what it is. It's a boy. And it was a boy. And then fast forward 5 years later, we are on a family trip and we're walking on to a waterfall. And I say, Eric, turn around. He turns around, and I snap a picture, and I am taken aback because it's almost exactly what was in my head 5 years before that. Because in the dream, I saw a little boy with that big, full, big-ass head with that big hair, but I didn't really see his face. It was just, it's kind of like the sun was shining, and I couldn't see it clearly. But then I saw it. So I don't know what that is, whether that be God or whatever. But I know it, and because I've seen it, I've experienced it, so I can totally get Aaron's motivation to see his son and be like, no, I gotta do this, I gotta get through it.
Mm-hmm.
The mind is very strong.
It is.
I could not help but squeal in pain when he finally got down to that water and he just, like, face planted into it. And I was like, ha! He, like, just fell on his arm. I cannot imagine, like, obviously the need for water is much greater than the pain he's feeling, but I'm sure after he got down there, he was like, fuck, that hurt.
Yeah.
I don't know, maybe he didn't, honestly, just like, I just need water. I'm not even thinking about anything else. That water was not clear. Lord knows what was in that water, but it was water, and he needed it so bad.
He was guzzling it. Yeah.
That was dirty water.
Considering he cut his arm off with a knife that he had been chipping away at a rock with, he's going to get a heavy, heavy dose of broad spectrum antibiotics when he gets to the hospital.
Yikes, spikes.
Fun little trivia. The guys who were flying the helicopter were the guys who actually flew the helicopter to rescue the real Aaron Ralston.
Oh my god.
That's cool.
And then at the end, when he comes up out of the pool, those are his actual friends and family.
And then the real Aaron and his wife are with their son are in there. Yeah. Which I thought was really cute.
Yeah. And he's still out there doing this shit.
I mean, it makes sense because that's like his life. He even says in the movie, he's like, this is my second home. I'm here all the time. You know, I love being out here. It would be, I don't know, maybe not weird, but it would be
sad.
Strange.
Yeah, it would be sad. Yeah, there's a, it would be strange and sad that he didn't do it anymore. But he's smart about it now. He's like, I tell someone I'm leaving and where I'm going. And I'm sure now it's different because like cell phones, you know, back then it was like impossible.
Yeah.
You know?
He also said that he was a part of the Ranger, not at the Rangers, but he was a part of like the search and rescue teams.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, he really knew what he was doing. He just, bad luck.
Yeah.
And what kills me is that he tested the rock too.
Yeah.
Because you saw him testing branches and other things, and he got there and he tested that rock. So he was like, oh, he wasn't just like, oh, the one time I didn't, or I forgot to this time. Right. He did everything right, and it was just that weight at the right moment at that time.
And what's interesting about the movie is, like, Aaron himself said that it's basically like a documentary. Like, it's all true. Except for the girls in the beginning, he just gave them directions and showed them, like a tree or something, and then he left. They didn't go swimming in a pool. But Danny Boyle added that to build relationships and to show a side of Aaron that wasn't just survivalist. But Aaron himself said that, like, this is basically a documentary. Like, all that was real. I felt all this, all that, blah, blah, blah.
He took the tapes from his actual recordings, and they're in, like, a bank vault. Because he became a public figure after this, and they show him losing his mind, and he didn't want them getting out. But he let Danny Boyle and James Franco watch all of them before the film.
Oh.
So they could really, James Franco could really see what it was like. And Danny could write a good script from it.
It proved to be beneficial. And also, like, you could tell that they cared about the story.
Mm-hmm.
They cared about the story and Aaron himself and treated it with respect. And it, like I said earlier, like, it could have been so much more gruesome and gross and disgusting. But it was just the right amount to get you. Because also the music helps, too. The building of the music when he's sawing it off. Like, and then the music just stops. Also, the score is really good because it's the composer is what is his name?
A.R. Rahman.
Rahman. I'm so sorry. But he's like a well-known, obviously not to me, a well-known Indian composer. He writes a lot of music for Bollywood movies, and so because it's like the desert, it gives off very like desert feel type of music, and I think it was really good. The score. I liked it.
I did too. But yeah, that moment of quiet afterwards was brilliant.
Yeah, agreed. Agreed. Which makes me excited for us to talk about Slumdog Millionaire when we get to it, because that's also going to be.
Yeah.
Also Danny Boyle. And Dev Patel.
Love of my life.
Can't wait.
Anyways, I guess. Anything else?
The most ironic use of the Lovely Day song.
Lovely day.
I was like, oh, okay, makes sense. That works. I only have two shots on my shot list, really. One shot was Aaron on the top of the curved hill when he's walking to his destination. That was really nice. And then the other shot was his hands when he's feeling the rock, like smoothing over the rock before he gets trapped. That was just a really nice little sequence there. I liked it. And then, Anna, you already said the other one was just the shots from inside the water bottle when he's about to drink his pee.
Yeah.
I just like those perspectives. They weren't like typical shots you would use for that. And so it was really effective. Very good. Categories?
Yeah, let's go
do some categories. Best do picture.
I agree.
It should be here.
I think it should be here. I thought it was a good enough movie. Even though that scene is brutal, it was an enjoyable watch because James Franco's engaging and it's tight script. So check.
I concur.
Yes.
You will say yes? Okay.
No! Yeah, it's fine.
Lead actor, James Franco. He was up against Javier Bardem for Beautiful. Mm-hmm. Jeff Bridges for True Grit. Jesse Eisenberg for The Social Network. Colin Firth for The King's Speech.
Well, this episode's hard because it's the first in this section. Right. So I am just going to judge what we've seen, obviously. And I'd say, yeah, I think he did a good job. Yeah.
Despite my feelings towards Franco, I agree.
Yeah, I think we kind of all have the same feelings about James Franco.
Yeah, he's not a great person, but his performance was pretty good.
Yeah. Adapted screenplay for Danny Boyle and Simon Beaufoy. Again, it's up against The Social Network, Toy Story 3, True Grit, and Winter's Bone.
I didn't read anything about the book, like actual book. I'd never read it, but from what Aaron himself said, like I said earlier, it's pretty true to real life. So yeah, I'd say yeah.
I like that there wasn't a lot of added content. Like, it was just the story. They didn't make up scenes with his mom and his dad, or like that was all just kind of peripheral. And that they watched the tapes, so I feel like it was a very truthful. True.
And they had Aaron to talk to.
Mm-hmm.
You know. Also, I think, like, when they showed his family, like, his sister, Lizzie Kaplan, who, like, is in one scene. I think maybe she had a bigger scene, that's why they hired her. But she's only, like, in one scene in a wedding dress, and that's it. But I also like the whole, like, when he's not supposed to be at that party, and everyone's in the car. Oh, the why that a stage is so cool. Loved all of that. Also, I didn't appreciate the Snoopy jump scare. I like that. How dare you? The Scooby-Doo jump scare. No.
That was
how
so
dare funny. You? Other room. I got mad that I got scared because it's not that kind of movie, right?
Right.
Where I'm like, he's not gonna see anything, but what is he gonna see? And it was Scooby-Doo. So yeah, I like that whole sequence. Whenever she's like. His girlfriend's like turning around and she's saying like, I love you, but it's like slowed down. And just the way all that is framed is so cool.
Mm-hmm.
So good.
I love person.
But also like how it wasn't too much stuff with his parents, that stuff with his dad when he wakes him up to go see the sunrise on that mountain or whatever. It was really nice, but it was just enough.
Treat Williams.
Is it actual name Treat, or is Treat something short for something?
I don't know.
It's a cute name.
He just died.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. R.I.P. sir.
Treat Williams.
He played his dad.
Oh. Wait, he just died? I missed that.
Like a month ago or so? Motorcycle accident.
Yeah.
Oh.
Next up is Achievement in Film Editing. It's up against Black Swan, The Fighter, King's Speech, and The Social Network.
Agree. I like the editing.
It was great. Good editing. Great editing.
When we notice it, it's good.
Yeah.
And once we notice it, and it's bad.
Again, like we said with other things, it's just enough. It's the good amount. It gets the point across without being, you know, convoluted.
Original song, we'll do song first, which we liked because it was in the movie and not just a credit scene, but also nominated was Coming Home from Country Strong, I See the Light from Tangled, and We Belong Together from Toy Story 3.
I agree that it should be here. I thought it was a good song, especially because it was in the movie, like you said, and also because when it's in the movie, it's like a moment of like he's thinking, like a reflection of like, it's almost like he's saying the words, which I really like.
And it's when he sees his son Mm-hmm. It's a really beautiful scene.
It's almost like he has to rise to see him. So I think the placement of it was very smart, very good. Love you, Dido. So yeah, I say yes.
An original score. It's up against How to Train Your Dragon, Inception, The King's Speech, and The Social Network.
Not the best one here, but definitely should be here.
I liked it enough. Yeah. I'll have more to say as the season goes on, but...
Girl, me too. Ooh, that's so much.
Yay, this season is so packed. I'm so excited.
Yeah, this season... I mean, this section of season six, are we on season six? Wow. Season six, part two. Seven?
I think so. Well,
we're on seven? We were just...
I think last...
Anna, we forgot to tell you. We might have a new listener. And so if they listen to this episode,
oh, yeah,
we'll shout them out for the next one.
I can't wait to hear about this off mic.
Yeah.
yeah. So, I guess, any last thoughts before we close her out?
I guess I'll rank this number one.
I wasn't even going to go there, but yeah. The rank jokes. The ranking jokes always land.
They have to be there. It's not a season without the rank joke.
Oh, I was going to say. So, this part, this section of movies, I'm so much more excited than I was last time because the flop that was 2011... Already, I'm excited. I'm so excited. And this movie kicking us off, yeah.
Yeah, already 100 times better than last season.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
I don't think we're going to say anything's mid this entire season, I don't think.
Think so either.
I'm excited about that.
I'm excited.
Which is so cool. So
thank God.
I know. It's like, yeah, it's going to be good. It's gonna be a good one.
Joy, I feel like I talked a lot. Joy, do you need anything? Anything else you wanted to add?
Don't ask me what I need because that list is too damn long.
I know. I'm sorry. I misspoke. Anything else you want to add to the episode?
I was happy to be convinced. Not happy to be convinced. I was glad that I was wrong about my assumption, thinking that James Franco was not going to do well in this.
Oh, okay.
So I'm glad he proved me wrong with his acting skills, that he has some. Because I have also had the same thing with, who was it? Seth Rogen, and then whoever, those stoner buddy guy movie people. that just, like... I never was into those movies when they came out. They just
seemed annoying
and just like, cool, great for you, but like, that's not for me.
I mean, James Franco hasn't done anything this good since.
I mean, I don't think he's done anything since. I mean, I don't know. I don't follow him because he's weird.
Yeah, he's done a lot of since. This was a long time ago, this movie. He's done a lot of stuff then.
Well, again, I don't follow him for being.
I don't either, but I know he's done more.
I have no idea.
I just know that this was probably his best performance. And speaking of Seth Rogen, we talked about it a little bit when we watched The Fablemans, but like, I think it's really interesting that he kind of like denounced their friendship. Like, I'm done with this guy. That's that cool that he did that. We're not talking. Like, no other male celebrity has done that to his friends when it comes to this Me Too stuff. Not a one. Seth Rogen is the only one that's publicly said, no, that's not cool.
I like Seth Rogen.
I love Seth Rogen. I've always loved Seth Rogen more as a person than an actor. Because, again, same with Joy. I'm not really into stoner comedy. It's not my thing. Same. But I loved him in Freaks and Geeks. And
yes, he was great in Freaks and Geeks.
And also, like, I really loved him in this movie. What was it called? Monsters vs. Aliens? It was an animated movie.
Yes! Oh, my God. That movie's so cute with Reese Witherspoon.
And like Hugh Laurie and other people, I forgot. Yeah. He's just like, his laugh is so infectious, and I feel like he's such a fun person. So I don't really care for his movies, but I just love. Also, he produces really good movies, like Good Boys, I think it was called, with our Jacob Tremblay. Our son.
I love that movie.
The movie is so funny. I think you'll like it, Joy, actually, because it's a little bit like. the humor is a little bit too teenage boy for me, but I still enjoyed it because it's very, it's so much heart. It's so funny, but it's so heartfelt, and I think you'll really like it.
There's a scene that is so us, all three of us, that Crystal and I had like an out of body experience. Like, this is, you could put us in place of these three boys, and it would be perfect.
I forgot all about that.
I need to know.
We have to watch it now because I haven't seen it since that one time, but I loved it when we saw it.
Did we
we'll try and get it for our beach weekend.
Sleepover? Yeah.
Yeah. It'll be better than when we made you watch Beautiful Creatures. That was just...
Okay, look.
I don't know. That was time. Great.
That was fun. That was fun. I love a cheesy teen movie.
That's like, true. You do. That's true.
I love a good YA novel turned movie. Like, I'm down.
I know no one cared about the movie but me and Anna, and I guess you now, Joy, but I loved it. That movie is good.
I thought it was great. Viola Davis, Emmy Rossum.
Jeremy Irons trying to do an accent. Never. Jeremy Irons is different.
Southern.
Emma Thompson, yeah. Emma heavy Thompson, hitters in that movie.
Alden Ehrenreich.
Which him and, this is not what we're talking about, but he did a really good job in Abby. I thought he was great.
Holy shit, yes he did.
I feel like I know this guy.
I hope this just gets him better things, because he deserves it.
Also, like, Solo was not his fault. Solo was unnecessary, but he did a good job as Han Solo. Okay? I'm just saying. Anyway.
I still haven't seen it.
It's not necessary. It's meh. Yeah. But Alden Ehrenreich is really great in the movie. And I think had it been not a disaster, he would have had more from that. But that really just kind of derailed his career after that. Which is sad, because he's very good. But anyways, so that's 127 hours.
Surprisingly, it did not take 127 hours for us to record this.
Well,
but I feel like some of the episodes this season are definitely going to take that long.
It took us 120 hours to start this episode.
That's true.
That's true.
We don't live together anymore, so this is kind of like our time. Oh, we were saying
127 hours to catch up, and then 1 hour to record.
We were saying, Joy and I were talking, like, I think we need to have this, like, even if we don't record a podcast, just have, like, a weekly hang. Because this really is beneficial to our mental health.
Yeah,
this month off has been weird.
Yeah, right? I even saw Joy in person. I was like, I love this, but I need Anna. Anyways.
Yeah.
Soon. Soon, she said.
Soon.
Oh, I thought you said Dune. I was like,
Sorry, I'm not cute enough for you to listen to. She was listening in on the cute people.
Oh, the cheese mix. Okay. You're not giving tea, that's why. You need to be giving cheese mix or tea. Cheese or tea. Okay, that's enough. Wrap it up, everybody. Wrap it up.
Okay, yeah. Thanks for listening. We'll be back.
Bye.
This season's gonna be great.
Bye.